ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹாம். ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசம் ஆரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்தியமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பரியந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹாம். பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 3 பாதா 4 ஃபர்ஸ்ட் அதிகரணம் புருஷார்த்தாதிகரணம். புருஷார்த்தா அத்தஹா சப்தாதிதி பாதராயணஹா சேஷத்வாத் புருஷார்த்தவாதா யதா அன்யேஷு இதி ஜைமினிஹி ஆச்சார தர்ஷனாத் தஷ்ருதேஹே சமன்வாரம்பணாத் தத்வதோவிதானாத் நியமாச்ச அதிக உபதேசாத்தும் பாதராயணஸ்யைவம் தத்தர்ஷனாத் துல்யம் துதர்ஷனம் அசாவர்த்திகீ விபாகா சதவத் அத்யயன மாத்ரவதஹ ந அவிசேஷாத் ஸ்துதயே அனுமதிர்வா கர்மகாரேண ச ஏகே உபமர்தஞ்ச ஊத்வரேதஹ சுச சப்தேஹி. செகண்ட் அதிகரணம் பராமர்ஷாதிகரணம். பராமர்ஷம் ஜைமினிஹி அசோதனா ச அபவததிஹி. This is the 18th Sutra of the 4th Patra, 3rd chapter, 443rd running Brahma Sutra. Now we have entered the second Adhikaranam, the 4th Pada of chapter 3. And this is known as Paramarsha Adhikaranam with 3 Sutras. And here Vyasacharya analyzes how many ashramas are prescribed by Vedas. This issue has come now based on the last sutra of the previous adhikaranam. There Vyasacharya indicated sannyas ashrama by the word urdvaretaha. We saw it yesterday. Sannyas ashrama was indicated by the word urdvaretaha, and this is a controversy because Purva Mimamsa does not accept 4 ashramas at all. Purva Mimamsa, it does not accept 4 ashramas at all. He is Eka Ashramavadi. And this Adhikaranam is a debate between Eka Ashramavadi Purva Mimamsaka and Aneka Ashramavadi Uttara Mimamsaka. That is Vedantin Siddhantins. And Purva Mimamsaka says only one ashrama is possible, and it is Grahastha Ashrama. He doesn't even say others don't exist. Only one ashrama that is possible. Not all others are acceptable. All other ashramas are acceptable to him. Only Grahastha Ashrama can perform all the rituals which is compulsory according to Vedas. This is Purva Mimamsaka's interpretation. One has to perform Agnihotra as long as one is alive. And this can be done only by a Grahastha alone. Yaha Agnim Udvasayate. We read this particular line in the last class. If a Vaidika abandons the Vedic ritualistic fire, that person destroys the power of Devas to bless him. Viraha. We read that particular line. It means the destroyer of devatas, with which alone devas bless the manushyas, because by doing or giving oblations to them, they get strengthened and they bless the manushyas. They can bless manushyas only through agni-based rituals. Only the oblations offered through fire, agni devata, reach the devatas, and they in turn bless manushyas. Once Agni itself is abandoned, and if you do not give oblations to the devatas, devas will become incapable of blessing manushyas. That is their argument. Because of this reason, only grahasthas alone can perform all Vedic rituals in full measure. Only grahastha-ashramavadis can maintain all the fires. We mentioned all these various fires and all in some other context earlier. Samidadanam is only the fire the brahmachari can maintain. when a person gets initiated into brahmacharyam, brahmacharya ashrama, he gets adhikara over agni by for doing samidadanam alone. He cannot do any other agnihotra rituals. He will not have money, he is not married, he has agni, and still he is a good, as good as anagni. Anagni means without agni, because he cannot do. He cannot perform Vedic rituals. Similarly, Vanaprastha Ashrami, he also cannot perform Vedic rituals because he will not have the resources to do them. He lives in the forest and he lives on Bhiksha and he will not have other accessories to perform any Vedic rituals. He cannot give Dakshina, most importantly. And he cannot do Annadana on many of these Agnihotras and all, you have to feed people. So Vanaprasthi, they also is as good as Anagnihi only. And of the four ashramas, there are three are, they cannot do the Agni Hotra rituals. So they are all people who cannot engage in any Agni-related rituals. And the Purva Mimamsaka argues, all these other Anagni, those ashramas, people who are Anagni, they should be rejected. Who cannot perform these rituals, they all should be rejected. That is possible in Grahastha Ashrama only, and that is calls that there is Eka Ashrama alone, which is Grahastha Ashrama. That is his contention. And there are some people who are handicapped people, and they cannot perform the ritual, and they are unfit for Grahastha Ashrama. Okay, these are all his theory. Because handicapped people, physically handicapped, mentally handicapped people cannot do Agni rituals. And they are unfit for Grahastha Ashrama because they cannot perform these rituals. Therefore, the Purva Mimamsaka says, other ashramas I can permit as a concession for handicapped people. He says, Grahastha Ashrama is for really fit people. But there are people who are physically unfit for, mentally unfit for whatever other reasons. Then he can permit the other ashramas for them. Healthy, good people are Grahastha Ashramis. And all other unhealthy, handicapped, or physically challenged people are fit for other ashramas according to him. According to Purva Mimamsaka, sannyasis are handicapped people. He does not accept other ashramas at all, Purva Mimamsaka. And Vyasacharya, in this Adhikaranam, he refutes their argument and supports Aneka Ashrama. Not Eka Ashrama, but Aneka Ashrama Vada, he supports many ashramas. We have got several Shruti support of Aneka Ashrama Vada, and among those Shruti Vakyas, there is one Vakyam that is occurring in Chandogi Upanishad, and that is going to be taken in this Adhikaranam to establish Aneka Ashrama. First, we will see the Chandogi Upanishad mantra. It comes in the second chapter, 23rd section, is the first mantra. Trayo Dharmaskandha Yajnodhyayanam Danam Iti. Yajnaha Adhyayanam Danam Iti. Trayo Dharmaskandha. Pratamaha Tapa Eva Dvitiyaha Brahmacharya Acharya Kulavasi. Tritiyaha Atyantam Atmanam Acharya Kule Avasadayanda. Sarvayete Punyalokaha Vavanti Brahmasagam Staha Amrutattvam Yeti. This is that mantra. So, Trayo, Dharmaskanda, Yajna, Yajnaha, Adhyayanam, Dana. These are the three things. It begins with the statement that there is no word indicating sannyasi is enjoined on a person. This only talks about Trayo Dharma, Skanda. Skanda means aggregates. This word Skanda also I have used earlier. Skanda. And there are three branches. And each branch of Vedic duty is associated with one ashrama. What are the three duties? Yajna, Adhyayanam, Dana. These are the three duties. And each duty is associated with one ashrama. So three dharmaskandhas refer to the three ashramas. These three various branches. The dharmaskandhas, they are referred as. And this skandha is more used it's a Buddhist term. And the mantra begins with Aneka Ashrama. It's a three ashramas, and that means many ashramas. More than one, you have to accept. This is Chandogya Upanishad. And the second meaning is the three ashramas associated with three types of duty also. of those three ashramas, one skanda, one ashrama is grihastha ashrama. Skanda means we can call it an ashrama here. One of them is grihastha ashrama, which is associated with three main duties. What are those? Performance of all yajnas in full measure. That is number one. Number two, adhyayanam. Adhyayanam means Veda adhyayanam, study and repetition of Vedas, Veda mantras. And third one is dhanam, the charity, which is possible only in grihastha ashram. Brahmachari, vanaprasthi, sannyasi, they live on bhiksha only and they cannot give dhanam. And the second one, the mantra says is that another ashrama is vanaprastha ashrama, which is specifically designed for practicing austerity, leading a simple life, leading a simple life. So that's what it says. And that is leading a simple life, living in the forest and all that. And so in this, here possession is not allowed. A person cannot possess things to lead a comfortable life in the forest. In fact, other infrastructures are opposed to austerity. All other infrastructures, air conditioning, this, that and all, they are opposed to austerity. And the third one is Brahmachari. Brahmachari, Acharya Kula Vasi. So in the Gurukulam, he stays. So it's called Acharya Kula Vasi, Brahmachari. Here the order is not actually followed, like Brahmachari, Grihastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha. That order is not followed. It just says the it is an enumeration of the ashramas only, not the actual, the order in which ashramas have to be understood. So Brahmachari is a Vedic student who is a resident student in residential setup called Gurukulam. Kulavasi he is, Gurukulavasi. And the Brahmachari is of two types also. This also I mentioned earlier. One is Upakurvana Brahmachari. He is a temporary Brahmachari who qualifies himself to enter Grihastha Ashrama. In fact, Purvamimamsaka is willing to accept the Brahmachari Ashrama as it is preparatory to Grihastha Ashrama. He says, okay, I don't mind accepting Brahmachari Ashrama because that only prepares the person to become a Grihastha. So he is willing to accept that. And there is another Brahmachari ashrama that is called Naishtika Brahmachari Ashrama. One is called Upakurvana, another is Naishtika Brahmachari Ashrama. After completing the adhyayana, Veda adhyayana, a Brahmachari is entitled to enter any of the three ashramas. A Brahmachari, after completing adhyayanam, he can enter into a Grihastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama, Sannyasa Ashrama. He can enter to any one of them. If he wants to study further, he has to spend more time in the Gurukula. So such a Brahmachari can take Naishtika Brahmacharya Vrata. And he can choose to remain with Guru and study scriptures as long as he wants to. So he is a Naishtika Brahmachari, spends the entire life only in study of scriptures in the Gurukula. He will never perform Agnihotram during his lifetime at all, because as a Brahmachari, he cannot perform any Agni ritual. This, the Purva Mimamsaka does not accept. The Shruti refers to Naishtika Brahmachari, this particular Shruti that we just read in Chandogya. And the Veda says, he is totally dedicating his entire life to serve his Guru and study scriptures. This Naishtika Brahmachari, what he does? He spends his entire life in the Gurukulam, study the scriptures and also serve the Guru. He does not come to Grihastha Ashrama at all. He gives all energy in the service of his Guru. Thus, there are three ashramas are mentioned in this mantra. And the mantra says that all the three groups of people who follow the ashrama will reach higher lokas after death. Thus, three ashramas are mentioned directly. Moreover, the one who abides in Brahman will attain moksha or immortality. The other three ashramis will attain finite results. But Brahmanishta, he gains immortality. A person who is in Brahmanishta, who is a Brahmanishta, he gains immortality. This indirectly indicates Sannyasa Ashrama. Thus, three ashramas are directly mentioned. Sannyasa Ashrama is indirectly mentioned. And this Chandogya Vakyam is referred to as Skanda Shruti. This is a term, Skanda Shruti. Skanda means aggregates. So in Chandogya Upanishad, the first five chapters are fully confined to Upasanas. I have mentioned this too many times. Only Tattvamasi chapter comes, sixth chapter. Up to that, all the others, they talk about Upasanas only. The last three chapters alone talk of Vedanta Jnana Adhyaya. So Shankaracharya shows his partiality for the first Adhyaya with a brief commentary only. And the last three Adhyayas, the commentary is also brief. There is one exception where Shankaracharya writes very elaborate commentary, and that is Skanda Sruti portion, this portion, and establishes the four ashramas. Because all Shankaracharya always supports Sannyasa ashrama. So he will go to any extent to support that ashrama. So he writes elaborate commentary and about on this Skanda Sruti portion and establishes the four ashramas. And among the four ashramas, he establishes the Sannyasa ashrama. It is this Skanda Sruti which is taken for debate in this adhikara. I'm just giving all this information to give you the context. What is the debate in this adhikara? So it is this Skanda Sruti which is taken for debate in this adhikaran. Here, Purvapakshi is whom? Purvapakshi is Purvamimamsaka himself. And he argues, Skanda Sruti does not support Anekashrama Vada. Skanda Sruti does not support Anekashrama Vada. And the Uttaramimamsaka wants to establish that Skanda Sruti supports Anekashrama Vada. That is the difference. Purvamimamsaka says Skanda Sruti does not support many ashramas. Uttaramimamsaka Vedantin says that Skanda Sruti supports many ashramas. And in this, we will develop our arguments in two stages because we have to go analytically, as I told you many times. This third chapter is full of inquiries in detail. First, we will establish that the Skanda Sruti supports three ashramas. That should be first established. This Skanda Sruti, given in the Chandogya Mantra that I just read, supports three ashramas. In the second stage, that is the first stage. And the second stage of our argument, we will establish that Skanda Sruti supports fourth ashrama, namely Sannyasa ashrama, indirectly. That means three ashramas, it says directly, this Skanda Sruti. Fourth ashrama, it says indirectly. Then we will conclude that Aneka Ashrama Vada is correct. That is our approach. This is the general introduction to this adhikarana. Now let us enter into the general analysis of this present sutra. Here Purvamimamsaka is whom? Jaimini. Rishi, Jaimini Rishi. Jaimini is acting as Purvapakshi here. He cannot be Purvapakshi for Vedavyasa, that we understand, because he is his student. But for the sake of argument, Jaimini takes the Purvapakshi stand. He says, Skanda Sruti cannot take the Anekashrama Vada. This Skanda Sruti, which we just read, cannot support Anekashrama, many ashramas. Jaimini gives three arguments in support of his view. The first argument is, there is no commandment given in the above statement in the form of an imperative mood. In Sanskrit grammar, I already mentioned, anything is an imperative mood is like an order, commandment. So this cannot be taken as a commandment, as a vidhi for three ashramas. There is nothing like an imperative mood in this. And the second argument he gives is that, these are all generally people analyze. The second argument he gives is that three ashramas is with reference to the popular misconception. And it is not the acceptance of the Shruti itself. This is the misconception of people. It is not directly accepted by the Shruti, the three ashramas. It's with reference to the popular misconception. These are whose argument? These are all arguments from Jaimini. He gives three arguments, I said. And that popular misconception is due to what? Is due to parampara. You have been following all those years, just follow it. So it is not a sanction for the Aneka Ashrama. So just because it has been a misconception followed through generations, parampara, you cannot take it as a sanction for the Aneka Ashrama, many ashramas. He says, it is because there is no vidhi vakyam sanctioning Aneka Ashrama. There is no commandment vakyam sentence sanctioning Aneka Ashrama, many ashramas. And the third argument he gives is, not only Shruti does not support Aneka Ashrama, but the Shruti condemns Sannyasa Ashrama positively. He says very, very clearly that not only Shruti does not support Aneka Ashrama, it condemns Sannyasa Ashrama positively. How can you go against the Shruti statement given that whoever does not do Vedic rituals will not be blessed by Devatas? And in fact, they will be condemned by devatas. That is what he is condemned. Because when they do karmakanda rituals and all, when they don't do, the devatas won't be, they won't be blessing them. They will be condemned by the devatas. So sannyasis abandon the ritualistic fire. And therefore, Shruti condemns sannyasa ashrama. That is his argument. Because of these three reasons, there is only one ashrama. So now I hope we are clear. The three arguments. First argument is, there is no commandment given in the above statement as imperative mode. Second argument he gives is that three ashramas is with reference to a popular misconception and not the acceptance of the Shruti. So this is not a sanction for anekashrama. It is because there is no vidyavakyam sanctioning anekashrama. And the third argument he gives is, not only Shruti does not support anekashrama, but the Shruti condemns sannyasashrama positively. So these are the three reasons, arguments he gives, he puts forth. So because of these reasons, there is only one ashrama is the conclusion of Purvamimamsa. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra. The sutra is what? Very long sutra it is. Paramarsham Jaiminihi Achodanacha Apavadatihi. 18th Sutra, 4th Pada, 3rd Chapter, 443rd Running Brahma Sutra. Jaimini means Jaimini Maharishi. He takes the other ashramas. Jaimini, he takes for discussion. That's we have to supply. Jaimini, he takes the other ashramas for discussion here. Paramarsham. Paramarsham means as only references. Paramarsham means they are only just for reference. Cha achodana and not as injunctions. They are only referred but not as injunctions. Na cha achodana and not as achodana. He apavadati, because the Shruti negates them. Vadati, apavadati. So it negates them. So this is the running name. Now we will see the significance of the words. Jaimini Maharishi, he interprets Skanda Shruti in this following manner. Paramarsham. Paramarsham means only as references that the three ashramas mentioned in the Shruti are the references to the popular misconception of anekashramas. The aim of the Skanda Shruti, what? It does not talk of number of ashramas and its aim is Brahmanishta. That is the aim of the Shruti. Its intention is not to talk about the number of ashramas at all. Ashrama number is not the subject matter here. I gave this example earlier. It is like a mathematics teacher asking a question. One pen costs, let us say, so much, $1, $2, whatever. A nice pen. And what is the cost of 15 pens? If he asks the question, the teacher is not interested in analyzing the present cost of the pen. It may be $1, it may be $10, he doesn't care. What he wants to find, whether the student can multiply and find the answer. Same way. So in the same way, here also, the number of ashramas mentioned in the Shruti cannot be taken seriously. Who says? Purvamimamsaka says. It is given for glorification only. Anuvada Vakyam. Vidhi Vakyam Nabhavati. It is only Anuvada Vakyam. It is not Vidhi Vakyam. It cannot become. It is only glorification. It cannot be stated as a Vidhi Vakyam, as a rule. And Achodana. Achodana means this is not a sanction or commandment for sanction for the prescription, for the implementation of many ashramas. You cannot use it as a sanction or a commandment for the prescription of many ashramas. And the significance of the words here is, any commandment will be indicated by the appropriate verb. That is all, these are all some small analysis, digression. When one says that there are, let us say, 123 people here, there is no commandment at all. It has a verb of present tense. There are 123 people. It is not a commandment. Commandment is to be indicated by verbal form in grammar. It should be imperative mood also. So a tense, past tense, present tense and all cannot convey a mood. Skanda Shruti does not convey any mood. Therefore, this is not a sanction for aneka ashrama. These are all Purvamimamsakas, all kinds of arguments. And then he says that apavadati, in the sutra, I read the word apavadati, which means to criticize or to condemn or indirectly negate. All these, we can say any of those. So the negation of other ashramas is found in the Vedas. That is his contention. negation of other ashramas, other than grihastha ashrama. Now the question is, where does the Shruti negate the other ashramas? Except the grihastha ashrama, where does the Shruti negate the other ashrama? So the very statement that you should perform Agnihotra indicates you should be a grihastha throughout, which means you do not become sannyasi. Correct? It's very, very simple. Then there is a firm statement in Vedas that you should perform Agnihotra ritual throughout the life, that indicates you should be a grihastha only. Because of these reasons, there is only grihastha ashrama. We can somehow accept other ashramas, except of course the sannyasa ashrama. And he said it's all for handicapped people also. This is Jaimini's Purvapaksha. This will be now refuted by Vedavyasa in the next two sutras. Now let us see Siddhanti's argument. He comes in the next sutras. Let us read. Anushteyam Badarayanaha Samya Shrutehe. Anushteyam Badarayanaha Samya Shrutehe. 19th Sutra, 4th Pada, 3rd Chapter, 444th Running Brahma Sutra. So the objection raised in the Sutra 18, previous Sutra, that is refuted here. This is Siddhanta Sutra. Siddhanta is who? Badarayana Vyasacharya himself. I already mentioned why he is called Badarayana. If all ashramas are popular misconceptions, let us say, for example, if one thinks all ashramas are popular misconception, the argument he gave, then the general the grihastha ashrama also is included in that. If he says all ashramas are popular misconceptions, then grihastha ashrama also is included in that. He did not say all other ashramas, all ashramas. Then you should treat all ashramas on equal footing only. The Veda clearly says, trayaha skandaha. In the list, Veda includes grihastha ashrama, The valid grihastha ashrama and the other two are given in the same list. Other two are what? Brahmacharya ashrama and vanaprastha ashrama. Sannyasa ashrama is not talked here. And the very fact the other two are indicated with valid grihastha ashrama indicates other two are also equally valid. Brahmacharya ashrama and vanaprastha ashrama also should be equally valid. One of them you accept as valid and the others two should be valid. The others two also should be accepted as valid. And you have no reason to take one and dismiss the other two. That is the argument Vyasacharya gives to Purvamimamsaka. Shruti Vakyam gives equal validity to all ashramas by enumerating them together. Actually, in Chandogya Upanishad, in the second chapter, 23rd mantra, 23rd section, first mantra, it clearly mentions all the three ashramas. First word, Trayo Dharma Skandha Yajnodhyayanam Dhanamithi. It's very clearly, Trayaha Dharmaskandaha, Traya, three of them. That's what we just read. How can you take the three as invalid without any reason? You cannot do that. That is Vyasacharya's argument. And there are also other Upanishadic statements where four ashramas are enumerated on equal footing. We have seen actually in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also fourth chapter, fourth section. There's a mantra, this 22nd mantra. Mantra, it enumerates all the four ashramas. Sava Esha Mahanaja Atma Yoyam Vijnanamayaha Praneshu Ya Yeshontarkhrdaya Akashaha Tasmin Chete Sarvasya Vashi Sarvasya Ishanaha Sarvasya Adhipatihi Sana Saduna Karmana Bhuyanaha Eva Asaduna Kaniyan Esha Sarveshwaraha Esha Bhuta Adhipatihi Esha Bhuta Palaha Esha Setuhu Vidharanaha Yesham Lokanam Asambhedaya Tamedam Vedana Vachanena Brahmanaha Vividishanti Yajnena Danena Tapasa Anashakena Yetameva Viditva Munir Bhavati. This is a very popular mantra. We spend a lot of time in discussing this mantra during our Brihadaranyaka discussion. So please refer to those notes to have a better perspective of the full thing. I won't be repeating the full thing, then I cannot advance. But I'm giving it. So here the thing that we have to think is Tametam Vedanu Vachanena Brahmana Vividishanti. Vedanu Vachanena. First, one has to practice Adhyayanam, repetition of the Vedas under the guidance of a guru. This clearly indicates Brahmacharya Ashrama, where you study Vedas, Brahmacharya Ashrama. Then it says Yagena Danena, clearly indicates Grihastha Ashrama. And in Brahmacharya Ashrama, the two are not possible. Yaga and Dhanam are not possible in Brahmacharya Ashrama. He has no resource. Because Brahmacharya is not supposed to have money. And tapasa anashakena. One should practice tapasa anashakena. That is Vanaprastha Ashrama it talks about. Then the mantra says, Yetam eva munita munirbhavati. It negates sannyasa ashrama. So all these four. So Vedana Vachanena talks about Brahmacharya Ashrama for doing Adhyayanam and all that. Then Yagena Dhanena refers to Grahastha Ashrama. Then Tapasa Anashakena refers to Vanaprastha Ashrama. And then Yetam eva munita munirbhavati refers to Sannyasa Ashrama. So in the same mantra, Sannyasa also is mentioned and all four are equally enumerated. Vyasacharya takes all this time. So either say all the four are misconception or say all four are acceptable. And when we give this argument, even then Purva Mimamsaka is not convinced, Purva Pakshi. So Shankaracharya gives some more arguments and the Purva Pakshi says, even though four ashramas are equally enumerated, I cannot give equal validity to them. He has got all strange ways of arguing. Even though equally they are enumerated, but I cannot give them equal validity. He argues there is no vidhi found in this Kanda Shruti and it does not say you should become Brahmachari or you should become Grahastha Ashrama. It doesn't say that. It only enumerates. Even though there is no vidhi for Grahastha Ashrama, there is a vidhi support elsewhere. That's what he comes to. Even though here also Brahmachari Ashrama also is just only enumerated, but he says there is a vidhi for Grahastha Ashrama elsewhere. And he quotes again Chandogya Mantra from the 8th chapter, 15th section, first mantra. Tadaidat Brahma Prajapataya Uprabhavacha Prajapatir Manave Manuhu Prajabhyaha Acharya Kulade Vedam Aditya Yata Vidhanam Guru Hom Karmati Seshena Abhisamavritya Kutumbe Shuchav Deshe Swadhyayam Adhiyanaha Adharmikan vidatat atmani vidatat atmani sarva indriyani sampratishtanyahigum sannam sarva bhutani anyatra tirtebhyah sakalvevam vartayannam yavat ayusham brahmalokam abhisampatyate nacha punara vartate nacha punara vartate. That means doesn't come back, means he's a jnani. Veda talks about the student taking to Grahastha Ashrama, performing ritual as a compulsory duty. Grahastha Ashrama has vidhi support elsewhere also. But the other ashramas do not have vidhi support anywhere. Only vidhi statement backs one ashrama. Naturally, Grahastha Ashrama. So among the four ashramas, only Grahastha Ashrama is supported by a vidhi vakyam somewhere in the Upanishad. And that's why Grahastha Ashrama is powerful. That is the argument given by the Purva Mimamsa. And this is one reason to treat Grahastha Ashrama with partiality. And there is another reason also. These are Purva Mimamsa's condition. Grahastha Ashrama is glorified by the Veda that karma will take a person to Swargaloka and all that. This Grahastha Ashrama stuti is there. But other ashramas are condemned by condemning the renunciation of rituals. Because all others, they condemn rituals. In the other ashramas, rituals are not there in all the other three. Therefore, you cannot treat them on equal footing. This is the further argument given by Jaimini. And our answer is, what Siddhantin's answer to this question is, all these problems come since you have not studied the Vedas properly. We come back to the same argument. You have not studied the Vedas properly. You have understood the Vidhi Vakyams that says Grahastha Ashrama as compulsory. Fine, you have understood that. But there are Vidhi Vakyam which prescribe other ashramas also for pursuing moksha. There is a famous Upanishad called Jabala Upanishad. The Jabala Upanishad, there is a Vakyam there. Brahmacharyam Parisamapya Grihi Bhavet. Brahmacharyam Parisamapya Grihi Bhavet. Grihi bhutva vani bhavet. Vani bhutva pravrajet. Very clearly says, Brahmacharyam parisamapyam grihi bhavet. Grihi bhutva vani bhavet. Vani bhutva pravrajet. సో యది వేతరత బ్రహ్మచర్యాదేవ ప్రవ్రజేత్ గృహాద్వా వనాద్వా. క్లియర్ స్టేట్మెంట్. యూ మైట్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ నోటీస్ హూ సేస్ సిద్ధాంతింటర్స్ పూర్వమీమాంసక. యూ మైట్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ నోటీస్ బికాస్ ఇట్ డస్ నాట్ కమ్ అంటర్ ది 10 ఉపనిషస్. యూ ట్రై టు పర్హాప్స్ ఇంటర్ప్రెట్ ద బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ దశ ఉపనిషస్. జాబాల్ ఉపనిషత్ ఇస్ నాట్ వన్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్. సో యూ మైట్ నాట్ పర్హాప్స్ ఇగ్నోర్డ్ ఆర్ యూ మైట్ నాట్ స్టడీ ఇట్ దాట్. ఇన్ దట్ జాబాల్ ఉపనిషత్ దర్ ఇస్ ఎ వెరీ డైరెక్ట్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ టు ఆల్ స్పిరిచువల్ టీచర్స్. ఫోర్త్ మంత్ర ఆఫ్ జాబాల ఉపనిషత్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ఇస్ దట్ సేస్ వన్ షుడ్ కంప్లీట్ బ్రహ్మచర్య ఆశ్రమ అండ్ దెన్ బికమ్ ఎ గ్రహస్థ. After completing Brahmacharya Ashrama, one has to go to Grahastha Ashrama. Once Grahastha Ashrama is fructified with production of Vairagyam, then one should take to Vanaprastha Ashrama, which he can try to acquire, where what he can get in that? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. He can become an Adhikari to pursue Jnana Marga. So having reduced them heavily, one can practice Upasana. At that time, Vanaprastha Ashrama. One sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is gained through upasana. Veda says one should take to sannyasa ashrama. Pravrajet, the first two, renunciation. Thus, the first three ashramas will help a person to be qualified to enter into sannyasa ashrama. He will gain sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, become an adhikari, and then all vairagyam and all. Then he will go to exclusively dedicate his entire life for shravanam, mananam, vididhyasanam, jnana marga to go to moksha, to gain moksha. Then the very same mantra says that if there is a brahmachari who has sadhana chatushtaya sampatti because of the purva janma sadhana, because many times you are told, you know, yoga brashtas, as Krishna says, some of those people, they might have already done a lot of sadhana in the previous janma, but before it reached, came to fruition, the prarabdha might have ended. So that person has already in the Purva Janma Vasana, he has all of them. So because of the Purva Janma Sadhana and in the present Janma, in Brahmacharya Ashrama itself, he gets Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, then there is no necessity for him to go to Grahastha Ashrama and other ashramas, and straight away he can go to Sannyasa Ashrama. Otherwise, instead of going through all the ashramas in gradual form, from Brahmacharya Ashrama, he can enter to Sannyasa Ashrama, or from Grahastha Ashrama or Vanaprastha Ashrama, he can enter Sannyasa Ashrama. That means qualification is only important. Whether a person has got sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, then he can enter. There is no definition that a person should be a grahastha or vanaprasthi or brahmachari only to enter sannyasa ashrama. There is clear vidhi in Jabala Upanishad that we already read just now. Therefore, even though there is no vidhi in this mantra, in this Chandogya mantra that we read, there is vidhi or Brahmachari mantra, there is vidhi support in other Upanishads, Jabala Upanishad here. So even after giving these arguments, the Purva Mimamsaka is still not completely convinced. I think this guy seems to be very tough. Jaimini, right? He's now advocate. He's not real Purva Pakshi Veda Vyasa. He only speaks for other people. I want to be devil's advocate. He's a devil's advocate here. So still he says he cannot treat all four ashramas as equally valid because of the apavada shruti. It is a powerful statement that you have to explain. And the Apavada Shruti is what? If you give up karmas, it is a papam, it says. The Apavada Shruti says, if there is a Veda mantra itself says, if you give up karmas, it is a papam. You block the blessings of the devas. Then you don't do Agnihotra karmas and do give oblations to the devas. You block the blessings of the devas. This is a papam. Therefore, your next birth will not be elevating birth at all. That means you should not go to the other ashramas. The other ashramas are weakened by this apavada shruti. I hope you understand what is apavada shruti. In Veda says you should not say do these rituals, oblations, because devas are not going to be happy. They will not bless you. So the other ashramas are not acceptable because of this reason. Then the Siddhanta argues for that. When there is a vidhi shruti and apavada shruti, see both are in the Vedas. There is a vidhi shruti also. And there is an apavada shruti also. Both being shruti vakyams, both are equally powerful. First, we should understand that argument. Both should be equally powerful. And therefore, one cannot cancel the other. Both are shruti vakyams. Apavada shruti cannot negate sannyasa shruti. If one is Shruti and the other is Smriti Vakyam, then former can cancel the later. That is, Shruti can cancel Smriti. When there are two equally powerful Shruti statements, how can one cancel the other? Is the question. Then Purvamimamsaka now says, you should interpret it in such a way that both are validated. For example, we say in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, what he says, for Kshatriya, Yuddham and violence is a duty for protection of Dharma. If all non-violent methods fail, condition. So for Kshatriya, Yuddham and violence is duty to protect Dharma if non-violent method fails. Therefore, in the 18th chapter, Gita, he says, the Kshatriya can fight for Dharma. So one Shruti Vakyam says violence is duty. Other Vakyam say Ahimsa is duty. So one should not harm or hurt any other being. So both duties are given in the Vedas. Now which statement is valid will be the question. Roger, Pondicherry. So violence is valid or non-violence is valid? One of them we call general duty, Samanya Dharma. And the other is specific duty. One is called Samanya Dharma, another is called Vishesha Dharma. General rule is one should not be violent. And specific rule is that if violence is required, you can fight. That is specific rule. So this method of interpretation is called Sankochaka. We have already seen this early. I have enumerated all this in previous discussions. So you reduce the area of operation of both the Vidhi Vakyas. So both Shrutis are valid in different areas. Karma is compulsory and karma should never be given up. That is very solid state. Karma is compulsory. Karma can never be given up. It operates in the field of people who are in which field? For people who are all not adhikaris, who are not sadhana, chatushtaya, sampanna, adhikari. Those who have not acquired this qualification may continue the general vidhi of pursuing karmakanda. For him, quote the Apavada Shruti and not Jabala Shruti. Don't tell him Jabala Shruti. The Upanishad, Jabala Upanishad, talk to him about the Apavada Shruti of engaging in karma. So Krishna did not quote sannyasa to Arjuna and he quoted karma to him. Once one acquires the qualifications, then we can quote Jabala Shruti. That's Jabala Upanishad. Therefore, Apavada Shruti is valid and this Kandha Shruti talks about Grahastha Ashrama for an anadhikari, a person who is not an adhikari. Adhikari opposite anadhikari. Therefore, all the four ashramas are equally valid for appropriate people. Therefore, anekashrama vada is correct and ekashrama vada is also correct. That is Siddhartha's conduction. So here, ekashrama vada, you have to conclude it is wrong in some context. Now we will do word analysis of the sutra. Anushteyam badarayanaha samya shrutehe. That is the sutra. Anushteyam badarayanaha samya shrutehe. 19th sutra, 444th running Parama Sutra. Anushteyam. Anushteyam means other ashramas are to be followed. Anushtana has to be done. Other ashramas in addition to grahastha ashrama. Samya shrutehe. Because of equal reference. Samya. Because of equal reference to all the ashramas. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Anushteyam means negation of the word paramarsha. Vyasacharya says it is not casual reference. Paramarsha, as I said, only reference. It is not a casual reference, but deliberate sanction to follow all ashramas. Anushteyam means it's a deliberate reference to follow all ashramas. And Samya Shrutehe means equal reference to the Shruti statement. Equality of all the ashramas is mentioned here. You cannot have stepmotherly treatment of one ashrama over the other. Now let us go to the next sutra where Vyasacharya gives another argument. Vidhirva Dharanavate. This is the 20th sutra, 4th Pada, 3rd chapter, 445th running Brahma Sutra. Vidhirva Dharanavate. So the argument that commenced in the previous sutra is continued to refute the objection raised by the Purva Mimamsaka in Sutra 18, that is continued here. And Vyasacharya here gives another argument. The Sutra 20, this present Sutra, happens to be the third and final Sutra of the second Adhikaranam of this particular Pada. And in this Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya establishes there are more number of ashramas, not just only Grihastha ashrama, there are more number of ashramas. He has to establish this because Purva Mimamsaka accepts only one ashrama, as we saw. So he is Eka Ashrama Vadi because Purva Mimamsaka, he gives importance to Vedic ritual, which alone will liberate a person according to him. For him, Vedic rituals are to be practiced until death to gain moksha. Till death, a person has to perform Agnihotram and all that. So as an angam, as a part of a ritual, the Grihastha Ashrama will also become important because Grihastha Ashrama alone, a person maintains all the ritualistic fires. These are all concepts. I'm just only enumerating them for us to understand the context. Therefore, all the rituals are possible only in Grihastha Ashrama. Therefore, since karma is important, Grihastha Ashrama also is seen as important. And according to Purva Mimamsaka, Brahmacharya Ashrama is a stepping stone to enter Grihastha Ashrama and it has no independent validity. So you just, because you have to be a brahmachari to become a grahastha, he says, okay, I will approve brahmachari, brahmachari ashrama. So it has no independent validity. Therefore, only valid ashrama, he accepts is grahastha ashrama. And in the second adhikaranam that we are seeing now, Vyasacharya refutes ekashrama vada and establishes anekashrama vada. And he concludes that anekashrama vada includes sannyasa ashrama also. Anekashrama, also anekashrama sthapana dwara, sannyasa ashrama sthapanam is done here. That is the purpose of this adhikaranam. And the reason why is he wants to do that, in the previous important adhikarana, the last big adhikarana with 17 sutras, Vyasacharya has made a passing reference to sannyasa ashrama while establishing jnanam alone will give liberation. In that argument, Vyasacharya made a passing reference to sannyasa ashrama. So if sannyasi can get moksha, it has to be only through kevala jnanam. Because sannyasi is fit for only following jnanam, jnana marga. And sannyasi cannot follow any Vaidika karmas at all. He does not wear sacred thread also, which is necessary for doing any rituals. Therefore, to establish jnana matrena moksha, only through jnanam a person can win moksha, Vyasacharya has mentioned moksha of sannyasi in the previous adhikaranam. Incidentally, it was a big adhikaranam of Brahma Sutras with 17 sutras, as I told. Therefore, sannyasa ashrama comes under scrutiny. That is why it has got big discussion. Then the Purva Mimamsaka becomes a greater challenger and he strongly refutes sannyasa ashrama itself. And Vyasacharya establishes Aneka Ashrama, and through that, Sannyasa Ashrama is also, he does sthapanam of that. So to establish Aneka Ashrama, including Sannyasa Ashrama, Vyasacharya takes up the well-known Chandogya Upanishad quotation known as this Skanda Shruti. That's what I mentioned earlier, Skanda Shruti. I am actually recapping a few of the discussions earlier in perspective here. So in Skanda Shruti of Chandogya Upanishad, it talks about Aneka Ashrama very clearly. We read that sutra, that particular mantra. Therefore, Vyasacharya took that statement, and when that was taken, Purva Mimamsaka came with an objection. He said, Aneka Ashrama Vidhi is not there in Chandogya Upanishad at all. Therefore, Chandogya does not represent, does not prescribe Aneka Ashrama according to Purva Mimamsaka. It only makes a casual reference to those ashramas, and casual reference cannot become pramana. Aneka ashrama vidhi is not there. That is the argument of the Purva Mimamsaka. It cannot be pramana. Vidhi alone is pramanam, and such a vidhi vakyam is absent in those Chandogya mantras, and therefore I cannot accept Aneka ashrama. And when the Purva Mimamsaka said that Aneka ashrama vidhi is not there, Vyasacharya said, if you say Aneka ashrama Paramarsha is not a vidhi or pramana, you have a problem. The problem is that what? In that Skanda Shruti, Grihastha Ashrama Paramarsham is there. Reference only is there. If you take Chandogya Shruti as apramanam, not valid, and throw all ashramas, Grihastha Ashrama also will be treated as invalid. You either accept all the three or reject all the three. For that, Purva Mimamsaka said, Grihastha Ashrama is included in Skanda Shruti and it cannot be Pramana for Grihastha Ashrama. Still, I will say Grihastha Ashrama Vidhi is present in some other Vakyam. So, even though in that particular Skanda Shruti it is not there, it is there in some other Vakyam. So, I will take that as Pramanam. That is Purva Mimamsaka's argument. We already did all this. I am just only recapping that. The Pramana for Grihastha Ashrama is elsewhere. And that we saw in the 8th chapter, 15th section, first mantra, where there is a Pramana Vakyam that one has to follow, Grihastha Ashrama is given there. It is a Pramana Vakyam. So Skanda Shruti is not Pramana for Aneka Ashrama also and Eka Ashrama also. Therefore, Grihastha Ashrama is stronger. That is his contention. Then Vyasacharya said, if Skanda Shruti is not a Pramana and you say there is another Shruti as Pramana, he said, I have another Shruti for proving and it is Jabalu Vakyam. Jabalu Prashit Vakyam we saw just now. So I have Vidhi Vakyam, you have also Vidhi Vakyam and therefore Aneka Ashrama Vada is to be accepted. And then Purva Mimamsaka, what did he do? Even though we have Pramana Vakyam for Aneka Ashrama, I would not accept Grihastha Ashrama alone as Pramanam and other Ashrama Vidhi cannot be accepted. I would accept only Grihastha Ashrama only as Pramanam. Other will not accept. Purva Mimamsaka says. Further, he gives a reason also. And what is the reason he gives? The reason is that at one place, Veda says that a Vaidika should not renounce the ritualistic fire. And it is a papam. That is most important. A Vaidika should not renounce the ritualistic fire. And if he does, it is a papam to renounce the ritualistic fire. And this is said where? In Chandogya. Therefore, in the other ashramas, Agni is not there. Brahmacharya Ashrama, Vanaprastha Sannyasi, Agni is not there. So these fires are there only in Grihastha Ashrama. Brahmacharya does not have fire other than Samidhadhanam. Sannyasi does not have any fire. So other ashramas are negated by Vedas. Therefore, Aneka Ashrama Vidhi will be nullified by this Vakyam. Agni Tyaga Papa Vakyam. This is called Agni Tyaga Papa Vakyam. Renouncing the Agni. It is a papam. Therefore, we come to one ashrama only where Agni Tyaga is not there, and that is what ashrama? Grihastha Ashrama. Further, Vyasacharya says one Shruti statement can never nullify another Shruti statement because both are Shruti statements. All Shruti statements have equal validity where there are Shruti. So, Aneka Ashrama Vakyam is also Shruti. Agni Tyaga Papa Vakyam is also Shruti. Both will have to be accommodated. This is the contradiction. Sannyasa is giving up a fire. And Sannyasi gains liberation as he gains Atma Jnana. In other places, giving up fire is a papam. How do you then reconcile Sannyasa Vidhi and Agni Tyaga Vidhi? I hope you are with me. How do you reconcile Sannyasa Vidhi where Agni has been renounced and Agni Tyagam gives papam in the other Shruti statement? How are you going to reconcile that? How do you reconcile this? This is the question posed by whom? Purva Mimamsaka. So in three or four places, Krishna says Ahimsa is important. At the same time, he advocates war to Arjuna. So fighting is Himsa, yet Krishna advocated war. You cannot say one Vakyam is stronger than the other. Both Vakyam comes from the same Guru. Then what do we do? We have to interpret in such a way to maintain the validity of both Vakyams. This I always told, I'm really brushing it up again. The general rule is one should not harm anyone because this is an important topic in Brahmasutra. Then we say for removing adharma, there is an exception that you may do himsa. The condition is maintenance of dharma. For the sake of dharma, if one has to harm, one do himsa, he can. Even for dharma samsthapanam, himsa is not the first step. One should be careful. For dharma samsthapanam also, himsa is not. Violence is not the first step. Try all non-violent methods. Because when Krishna was sent as a messenger to the Pandavas, to the Kauravas, he said, I will not give even one needle space of land. So all things they tried. So if all of them fail, violence should be employed to maintain dharma. You restrict the meaning of both the statements into two different fields. In the same way, sannyasa is valid. And giving up Agni is also valid. Both are valid. In general rule, Panchamaha Yajna should not be given up. Everybody has to perform Panchamaha Yajnas. never give up your duty, including rituals. You allow giving up of karma when the person has attained what? Karma phalam. What is karma phalam? Sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Once a person gains sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, he becomes an adhikari. He can perform. He doesn't have to do karmas anymore. He can pursue jnana marga. So when sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is achieved, so sadhya prapti anantaram, sadhanam becomes redundant and irrelevant also. So after removing, for example, after removing hunger, still if I go on eating, it is redundant, maybe harmful also to me. Therefore, Vyasacharya says, sannyasa is all right when he has attained sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, and that vakyam is not relevant for an adhikari, and such a sannyasi will not incur papam. Because he has become an adhikari now. And Purva Mimamsa may not accept Jabal Upanishad, and therefore Purva Mimamsa may not accept the statement, and therefore let us assume Jabal Upanishad does not exist. Temporarily, Vyasacharya is willing to give up Jabal Upanishad. So Vyasacharya says, Skanda means aggregate, I stole the Chandogya. Skanda Shruti in Chandogya, coming within the Upanishad, you accept, and he says, the very Skanda Shruti as Anekashrama Vidivakya. The same Skanda Shruti, Vyasacharya interprets this as Anekashrama Vidivakyam itself. So, for example, when I say there is water, it is not a Vidivakyam, it's a statement. Commandment requires, as I told you, imperative mode. How can you take Skanda Shruti as Vidivakyam? There is no imperative mode, it's a statement. For this question, the answer is given in this sutra, Sutra 20. So, by using another method of interpretation, you can convert a Paramarsha Vakyam into Vidivakyam. Paramarsha Vakyam is just a referential Vakyam, but that you can make it into a rule, Vidhi Vakyam. By another method of interpretation. Vyasacharya says, this is not a unique interpretation I want to use. And he says, you have yourself used it in your own Purva Mimamsa Sutras. He is pointing to Jaimini. If you can change, why cannot I also apply and take advantage of that provision? This is the approach of this sutra. Now we will enter into the general analysis. I have to complete this. So let me take a couple more minutes. So here Vyasacharya takes an example occurring in Karmakanda. Based on that Karmakanda instance, the Purva Mimamsaka, Jaimini, he writes a special sutra. And we apply that sutra for Skanda Shruti also. And what is the sutra? It is the third chapter, fourth section, 15th Jaimini Sutra. This Jaimini Sutra it is. That is, all these are all Purva Mimamsa Sutras. Vidhistu dharane apurvatvat. So that is the sutra. Vidhistu dharane apurvatvat is the sutra. Let us give the instance where Jaimini applies this sutra. And there is a mantra. Adasthat samidham dharayanne anudravet uparihi devebhyo dharayati. This is the mantra. It's a quotation from Veda Purva Bhaga, Karmakanda portion. So Jaimini Sutra is not part of Veda. We should be clear. It is not part of Veda. But he uses a mantra in the Karmakanda portion. Adasthad samidham dharayan anudravet uparihi devebhyo dharayati. So Veda Vakyam gives a commandment to be followed here. The commandment is that the priest must approach the Homakunda. That is a Homakunda. He is going to do a homam. So he has to approach the Homakunda. That is the Vidhi. Now this Vidhi is given in a ritual called Mahapitri Yajna, dedicated to Pitrus, the ancestors. He should take the ladle through which, using which he is going to oblation, in which he carries the oblation material in the form of ghee, and he has to go near the Homakunda. That's a Vidhi. And when he takes the ladle in one hand, and in the other hand, he should take a twig called the Samit, and he should approach the Homakunda with that twig and ghee. He has to go there. And how he should hold it also is told in the mantra, how he should hold it. The ladle should be in higher level, and Samit should be down below. He has to approach like that. This one is the Vidhi Vakya. And while offering the Vidhi, the commandment, the Veda makes another reference, which is not a Vidhi, but Paramarsha is only reference. Paramarsha is when the ritual is for the Devatas, but any ritual other than Pitri Yajna, the Samit should be held above the ladder. If it is for Pitri Karma, the Samit should be kept below the ladle containing the key. If it is for Pitri Yajna, If it is for any Deva Yajna, it should be held above. That means Pitri Yajna, the summit should be below, and in Deva Yajna, summit should be above. And the problem is what? For Pitri Yajna, summit is given in the form of commandment, and the Vidhi is in imperative mode in that statement. In Deva Yajna, the Vidhi is not there, and it is not in the form of commandment, it is only a statement. So in the same mantra, these two things are, one is like a commandment, it is said in imperative mode. In the other one, it is not a commandment, it is said as a statement. Now, Purva Mimamsa problem is, with regard to Pitri Yajna, we can take it as Vidhi. And can we take Samit in Deva Yajna also as Vidhi? There is no imperative mode present there. He does not want to use Paramarsha Vakyam as Vidhi Vakyam. Paramarsha Vakyam means, again, I'm referring to the reference Vakyam. Then he takes another place where it is told how to hold Samit for Deva Yajna also. He finds that there is no Vidhi elsewhere. So we do require a Vidhi. Where should I hold the Samit? We need somebody to say above or below. Then Purva Mimamsaka comes to a compromise. Even though it is a Paramarsha Vakyam, a referential statement that is out of context, even though it relates to Pitri Yajna, this Vakyam, Samit must be held above. The Paramarsha Vakyam should be taken as Vidhi Vakyam, according to him. So according to Purva Mimamsaka, a statement should have only one Vidhi. Here one statement has got two Vidhi. One is actual Vidhi, the other one is compromise Vidhi. So Paramarsha Vakyam is taken as Vidhi Vakyam in this instance. So Purva Mimamsaka says, when there is no way out, compromise is possible and it is all right. That is how he interprets the Jaimini Sutra. Normally you take snanam, but when you are not well, you can avoid snanam for doing a karma. Now Vyasacharya extends this conversation to Skanda Shruti also. We have to reinterpret the Skanda Shruti and see what are the Vidhi involved in Skanda Shruti. In Purva Mimamsaka, there are two Vidhis, as said above. So similarly, in Skanda Shruti also, we have two Vidhis. One is primary Vidhi and the other is Paramarsha Vakyam converted into Vidhi. Paramarsha is referential statement converted into Vidhi statement. So if you go back to Skanda Shruti, there the Upanishad refers to many ashramas, all of them come under Paramarsha Vakyam referential only. Having referred to aneka ashramas at the end, the Upanishad says, Brahmanishtaha or Jnananishtaha means a jnani, and such a jnani will attain moksha after seeing all the ashramas. Whereas the other people, non-Brahmanishtas, ajnanis, they will attain only finite results. Maybe they can go to other lokas, punya lokas. Therefore, the primary commandment theme of Skanda Shruti is Brahmanishtaha Bhavet. May you all become Jnananishtas and attain moksha. As part of the primary field, the Upanishad refers to ashrama also. So aneka ashrama paramarsha is there. Whether aneka ashrama paramarsha reference can be converted into vidhi or not is our question. So our view is that it should be taken as vidhi, as done by Purva Mimamsa statement mentioned above in that example. So we have vidhi elsewhere in Jabal Upanishad, the vidhi vakyam, we can use it. So Purvapaksha does not accept Jabal Upanishad statement. Therefore, what we do is we convert aneka ashrama paramarsha into vidhi vakyam. Because he has done it, we are also trying to use the same argument. It is very useful and informative teaching. Therefore, aneka ashrama paramarsha is a vidhi also. You'll see more details in the next class. Yo veda dau swara prakto vedantya pratishthitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Shri Krishna.